handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I am your host, J.L. Covan. It is 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2021. Doing this Sunday night, because Monday, as always, I've decided Mondays, for the most part, especially with legal work kicking back up, very busy. Don't want to have to, because what happens is if I take a lunch break now, I don't want to go back to work. So I'll do like 4 hours of work, do the Righteous Prick Podcast, and then go, could go for a movie right now, and I'll just work right up until Making Podcasts Great Again, and then I go, oh, wait, I didn't go to work to work out, and then I work out, and I'm like, okay, I've done 5 hours of my, like, 9 hours required, and it's now 9 o'clock. I guess I'll take a half day. So better to do it now before I go to the gym and get swole for an hour right before a live episode of Making Podcasts Great Again. So, the work never stops, the rewards never begin, and the joy never materializes. That was like my version of Ted Kennedy's speech in 1980. And the dream never dies. That mine is, comedy goes on, joy never materializes, and the dream never lives. That's once again something for all my older listeners who can appreciate the melding of old political references, mediocre impressions, and self-deprecating humor. So to all seven of you, you're welcome, and thank you for listening. I am 6 days away from the recording of Half Blackface, and if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't received an email from the Triad Theater and you haven't seen a tweet from me on Twitter, an Instagram post from me on Instagram, or a Facebook post from me on Facebook, congratulations. You are just one of the many manifestations of how the internet is no longer assisting my career and, in fact, is murdering it. But if you're listening to this now, because I have done all of those things, the theater sent out notices. I sent out every notice to every platform I could. I'm sending out another newsletter this week, highlighting this, but there are not two shows. And it's also one of those funny tells where you're like, oh, okay, so most of my fans don't listen to this show either. So 6 days away from the biggest show of my career, and in many ways probably the finale. It's not the season finale, you know, but this is like the character you love dies off, and then the show like continues for another 3 episodes, but you know, I got my West Coast trip. I don't know if I'm going to, I keep trying to get booked in various cities. I'm not going to lament this. I want to make this a short episode, but the point is, you know, I don't want to fight, City Hall anymore. I don't want to fight Twitter algorithms or, fans who don't really give a shit about stand up or get jokes or anything beyond just distracted people who found something that, cured
their depressed boredom for a couple of months in 2020. So I don't want to fight this fight anymore with comedy, trying to sort of prove that I'm great and prove that like I belong in a higher station and deserve representation. Deserve whatever. Who gives a fuck? It's not happening. So we are 6 days from half blackface. Probably there's a good likelihood that that's my last marker of my career, of my stand-up career. I want to make it the greatest one I've ever left. So at least when the career is over, I can just sort of say, well, I don't have to question my effort. I don't have to live with that regret. I can always say I gave everything I had. I think I produced a fucking metric ton of good stuff. And now it's time to figure out what makes me happy. What can replace comedy, which stepped in when I should have just gone and become a teacher after college. Instead, I went to law school because that was more quote unquote legit and more prestigious. And you know that quickly unwound, and I found comedy as a way to deal with that depression. And comedy has taken me to depths. Comedy and Jewish women have taken me to depths that I never really foresaw in my life. That's just some callback humor to people who've enjoyed my albums. You'll know, there are only really two albums in my, anthology, that feature, stories about really traumatic relationships. So it's time to figure out what to do, but I'm still in it to win it. So I'm very nervous and stressed and excited for Saturday, and it's at 8 p.m. There is not a 7 and a 9:30. There are no 7 and 9:30 shows, because if I had a 7 and 9:30 show, I would be spending this entire week wondering how can I get up to 100 tickets sold for each show so that the recording looks good. And I didn't want to be stressed over that. I would rather focus on the material and pray and hope that I crush the one shot that I have at this rather than be bitter and stressed beyond the material, just to be stressed about, oh fuck, this is going to suck. It's not going to look full. It's going to be fucking quiet. Fuck. So I canceled the two shows. And like I said, a month or two ago when I was contemplating doing that, I said, that's going to be hard to recover from. That in your own hometown, you can't sell tickets in the biggest media market in the world, a year removed from being a very big comedy story. That's a rejection, whether intentional or just simply a commission or omission. It's something that's very difficult to live down. I sold more tickets in 2006 for my first album recording. I sold 140 tickets. They had to turn people away, because they had. Well, no, I'm sorry. I sold it out, and they had to turn people away who showed up, and that was for my first album, which was, you know, an ambitious, good effort from a third-year comedian for sure. But you know, whatever, it has definite merit, but it's no masterpiece. And then we fast forward 15 years later, we're doing album number 7, special number 1, and we didn't quite match the enthusiasm that a third-year comedian had. Now, for all the friends I've lost, relationships I've frayed, I thought that might have been made up by fans. But it wasn't. So fuck it. Here we go. Blaze of glory. Let's go out. Let's go out. Not on top, certainly, but with a top-notch effort. So that's 8 p.m. on Saturday, October 23rd. I will do a Righteous Prick episode next week. I'll give you the blow-by-blow. Probably best case scenario, I tell you that it was one of the greatest shows, if not the greatest shows of my life. And, so what? That's the best case scenario, is that I go 10 out of 10 degree of difficulty, 10, go 10 out of 10 perfect score on a perfect degree of difficulty. And then it settles in after the high fades by Monday that I go, yeah, but they're probably not going to make a good effort to sell it. it won't sell. It'll be on like some bland platform with like no extra promotion behind it. And that's how it'll go. It will go out with a whimper. The career that has taken my adult life to form, nurture, power through, will go out with a whimper, having made a little mark. And the reason I say that is there's people out there who go, I appreciate what you did, but it's like, but you know, I appreciate a fucking sunset. I don't go see it live though. I don't know. I don't even know what the comparison is. It's like, you know, I didn't do it. I have one more chance to do it, but up until this point, even 2020, didn't do it. Didn't get any industry interested, didn't get fans that want to buy tickets, didn't get Twitter to sort of stop fucking me over like I'm Donald Trump himself. So there it is. And now I have to do the work for my own mental health of just saying, okay, I have to start removing myself consciously from comedy, from the emotional toll, the effort. I have to, you know, just sort of fucking crush Saturday and, you know, do a few shows for fun, but barring a miracle, because what the truth is, 2020 was the comedy miracle I'd been asking for. I know it was a fucking nightmare for everybody, including me, and for much more serious reasons than, you know, work stress, but that was it. That was the fucking Hail Mary. Comedian decides to basically shelve his comedy career and then becomes a national star for a couple of months based on his comedy work, a specific set of his comedy work. That was the miracle. That was the Hail Mary. And it fucking worked. And it led to nothing beyond like an isolated period of success, fame, and money. It had no legs. And I can't believe it. I feel like it was like a reverse miracle. It was like only JL could actually watch this incredible one in a million comedy event and then have it turn to the point where he's in some metrics below where he was in 2019. So what else should I do, right? I'm trying to talk myself into being convinced because I know this is going to be very difficult and painful. But when it comes down to it, most people don't give a shit about my comedy. So why would they give a shit about me quitting comedy? You know? So Saturday, going to be a big one. And then I obviously have my shows. I'm taking my trip out west. I think that'll be the farewell tour, you know? If I can get anybody else besides the one club in LA to reply to my emails. So it could be a one week, one show farewell tour, which I think would be fitting. I think we can all agree that that would be the kind of hilarious tragedy that I could then turn into a darkly humorous blog post that 39 people would read. So it was nice when my algorithm was hitting though with Twitter, because I remember I posted a couple blogs and they had like thousands of readers, and I was like, sweet, I guess that's what happens when you have thousands of followers. And now when I post a blog, it's like that got 98 reads. So, you know, there's we need one more miracle, but maybe comedy miracles shouldn't be wasted on me. You know, if I sell a special to Netflix or Showtime, maybe that's a waste. Like maybe there's somebody whose career won't instantly turn that into a black hole of despair and cancer, or like metaphorically, you know? So maybe it's selfish to be like, please let this one last thing. Why? This is like my comedy career. Selling a special would be like giving a kidney transplant to a guy who just got shot in the head 5 times. It's like, not sure this is the best usage of this comedy special kidney, because this guy's bleeding profusely from the head. Not afraid of turning your career into a JFK assassination. Okay, so let's move on. I have a soccer update, which is kind of funny. And, of course, my trip to Belmore, Long Island, I have to report on, because I didn't write a blog for it. I figured I'd just save it for the podcast. Youth soccer update. Oh, my right foot fell apart. Fell asleep. Fell apart. Yeah, well, it's doing that, too. My right foot fell asleep. I think it's because I'm a big fat fuck who's, even though I'm now 45 pounds down from 3.5 months ago, I feel like the circulation is poor in my body. So I don't know how long I have on this earth, folks. I don't know. Isn't it scary to think? Like, I have these, like, fears of mortality all the time. I'm just like, oh, my foot keeps falling asleep. So I guess it doesn't matter if I lose weight and get in shape. My circulation is fading because I'm a tall piece of shit. And, you know, so it's good. It feels good when your foot goes numb because you can't just sit in a chair comfortably for a while. But it was worth all those women coming up to me at bars saying, how tall are you? It was all worth it to be this height and to just cut decades off of my life. So, Lord, while you're at it with my comedy prayer, I also want to thank you for, you know, giving me NBA height, Netflix comedy talent with a Division III game and a career that was dead on arrival. So thank you. In Joel Osteen's name, we pray. Let's see. Soccer. So my nephew was telling me, and this is very funny, a follow-up to, oh, by the way, if you're somebody who doesn't subscribe or follow the podcast and you just kind of click when I post it on social media, there was a new episode. There was a bonus episode I just threw up last, I want to say Thursday? I think it was Thursday. Yeah, it was Thursday night. It was a very funny episode. So listen to that. If you missed it, you should listen to it. And then you should, you know, follow on Spotify or Apple. Or, yeah, you know, just so you get the, or Podomatic, just so you get the alerts. And I do recommend people follow on Podomatic. The link is on my website because we've been having issues sometimes with Spotify and or Apple in terms of like getting loaded up quickly or transferring to their sites the way it's supposed to kind of do seamlessly. But Podomatic always works. So it's just an easy way of like making sure, you know, but do what you want to do. But he told me that numerous teammates of his, this is actually a follow-up to both stories, the two soccer stories I've told so far. I'll start with the first one, Del Barton, which was the, you know, that was the Pine Barrens youth soccer episode. That was the campus that was 95 miles wide, and just I was flipping out the whole day. Apparently, Seton Hall Prep, my nephew's school, was playing a football game there, and they won, and then they were celebrating after, and the bleachers collapsed and broke a kid, like one of the players on Seton Hall Prep. His leg got broken from the collapsing bleacher. So that sounds scary and painful, but part of me was just like, I hope that kid sues them for so much fucking money that they have to downsize their campus. So I am rooting so hard for that. I mean, obviously he's going to sue them and get a lot of money, pain, suffering, fear. But also, I hope he sues them and gets so much money in punitive damages that they announce, we have now at Del Barton had to reduce our school size to that of just a vulgar, expensive private school and not the kind of private school that an oil sheikh in the Middle East would build for their fifth wives, four sons. So thoughts and prayers for that kid, and more importantly than that kid and his injuries, thoughts and prayers for Del Barton paying an enormous, painful amount of money that forces their campus to be less of a gluttonous, annoying piece of shit. So that's the follow-up for Del Barton School in Morristown, New Jersey, where I'll be, by the way, Thursday at 8 p.m. It's on my website, but tickets are for sale now. They're cheaper if you buy them in advance. But that'll be one of my few warm-up shows left before Saturday. So get your tickets to that if you're anywhere, if you're I don't know. I don't know how many of you are in Jersey. I don't know where any of you are, to be honest. But if that sounds of interest to you, then by all means, please come see me in Morristown, New Jersey. There's a great steakhouse near the place called Roots Steakhouse. I don't think I'll have enough time to eat there, but it's a delicious steakhouse. So if you're somebody who's coming to see me in Morristown, you know, if you just want to really make a night of it, and, you know, I would argue that the steakhouse would be the highlight of the evening. I would only be a sort of diminished follow-up. But Root's Steakhouse in Morristown is very close, like walking distance to the venue. And the venue is walking distance from the train stop, the New Jersey train stop. Anyway, the second follow-up soccer story, which is even funnier if you listen to They Stood Over My Body, which was the bonus episode. And I say bonus episode, but it's in the regular feed. You can just, if you know, this is why it just makes sense to be a follower or a subscriber to the podcast. It's been free for a decade, and, you know, you can just listen to the stuff and just be notified when it comes out. I've never charged for anything on this podcast, so fun times. So he told me that my nephew told me numerous friends, before he didn't know I had done a podcast or anything on it, but he told me numerous friends of his had changed their Instagram profile pic to the ref giving the goalie, I don't know who had the picture, maybe a parent took it, maybe a coach or somebody, they changed it, their profile pics to the kid getting a red card, like a picture of the ref giving the kid, the goalie, a red card. And I thought to myself, oh my God, that is so awesome. The Instagram trolling of your like rival freshman school. That's amazing. Now, of course, this is the kind of stuff that's going to eventually lead to horrific tragedies, probably, in terms of the school was taunting him, so he decided to get revenge. I hope that's not the case, but I'm just saying it's a big country with a lot of stupid, crazy people who get very worked up over different things, whether it's a soccer game or social media taunting. But I do respect immensely the Seton Hall Prep freshmen for changing their Instagram profiles to that kid getting a red card. And my nephew, when I told him what I heard during the game, which he was unaware of, and he's going to tell his entire team, I believe, this quote, but he said, can I change my Instagram like name or quote to They Stood Over My Body? And I said, I don't think you should do that, but I respect and appreciate that you want to. So there, that's a funny, like my nephew actually brought, unknowingly gave me literally two juicy postscripts to my two so far soccer uncle soccer stories. So I will have at least one more soccer story, because I want to go to other games, but I have a very busy week with work and trying to prepare for a special that will, basically be my Viking funeral for comedy. And I'm not just saying that because my finale is people shooting flaming arrows into me. His team plays in my town a week from Tuesday. So I'm definitely going to go to the walk to that game. I can't complain if I can walk to the game. But he's got a bunch of games this week, but I don't think I can make any of them. But I will have at least one more game, and I hope it's a fun update. I hope it's not just like, yeah, they won 4-1. Nobody talked trash. Nobody had a mental breakdown. There was no taunting or dramatic supervillain speeches. It was just a bunch of 14-year-olds playing soccer games, like a group of chumps. So that's that. Now, do I have other gigs? Yes. You're probably all aware of the gigs I have, but I am going to tell you, I'm thinking I'm going to take off maybe November from this podcast and see how it feels. You know, I know the people who listen to this have been really good and supportive, and I do appreciate it. I hope I never stop conveying. Whenever I trash like shitty fans, it's partly only to highlight the greatness of the true fans that I have, but you know, mostly it just feels like my fan base is either dead weight or algorithmically silenced. But I will probably take off this podcast in November and just start to see how it feels to have a little more freedom and a little less emphasis of my life on comedy. And like I've said, most of you did not know me or know who I was or were aware of my comedy or ups and downs before 2020. But like I said, I quit this podcast in 2019. And for a year, the podcast was off because I was just, you know, getting used to trying to live life without comedy or with less comedy in it, so that it could revert back to a hobby at best and maybe just eliminate it altogether. And I think I need to start that process again. So you know, it's just, it's been a net negative. And I hate to say that because I am appreciative of a lot of what people have said to me and paid me. But I do. I think it's been, I think this has been a net negative experience. There's just not a lot of happiness, I think, for me right now in so many ways. And comedy is one of the voluntary ways that I torture myself. So I can at least start by withdrawing from that a little bit. So this is a delicate balancing act because my pride and my work will compel me to make as great a show as I've ever done, hopefully, on the 23rd. And then after that, I think on Sunday, well, Saturday, I'm going to do something I haven't done in 2 years. This is how seriously this show is. I'm going to go to confession at my old church in Manhattan. Kind of like Rocky getting a prayer before he fights Apollo. Go to confession. Clean the slate with the Lord. And if this makes me sound like some cult psycho to you, so be it. And then I'm going to go to Mass, and then I'm going to go to the theater or find a coffee shop near the theater, review my set a little bit, and then just go to the theater, maybe 7-ish, 7:15. Hopefully Pete Dominic will be there. He's a calming, pleasant presence, and talk it over with him. Just get ready for the show, get ready to talk about what we're doing. And then just my main thing for Saturday is to literally have no fear, like none, because I have to say some shit that I'm not maybe that I'm still not super comfortable saying, and I'm still working on some of this shit to get the wording right, which is scary and frustrating. But sometimes I know this sounds maybe, you know, some comedian might say, oh, okay, I could never do that. Well, you're probably a comedian that headlines 40 weeks a year, does 500 shows, gets paid six figures just to do stand up. I'm not. And I don't think I ever will be, even though I've done everything I can to get in that position. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So I have to do it this way. And sometimes when I do a bit for the first time or for the third time, that's sometimes the best it ever is. Milli Vanilli on Thoughts and Prayers is a really good example of that. But for the most part, everything's ready to roll. And, you know, go do the show. Maybe have a couple of drinks after at a, you know, pub across the street. Even though part of me really doesn't want any adulation or thanks. Because I hate this shit. And I have for a while. But I want to end it on my terms. I want to fucking hate it on my terms and mash it into the ground with a fucking A+ recording. And then say, yeah, see, there was nothing I could do to make it. And then you can sort of surrender, you know how Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, surrender to a higher power. Maybe to get over this, it's like, the higher power, unfortunately, is mostly negative in my comedy career's case, but I can just say, yeah, I'm surrendering to the fact that it's not going to happen. And there are worse tragedies in life. There are worse things that have happened to people. In fact, almost everything that happens is worse than not becoming a successful stand-up comedian. But that'll help me deal with it. So, you know, I get to do some shows out west, or a show, and that'll be cool. I get to do shows. I mean, this sounds weird because I'm like, by the way, come to see me in Pittsburgh and D.C. Don't worry. This is, I don't know, maybe this is a horrible way to sell myself, because I'm going to do shows, and I'm going to do them the way I always do them, which is fucking with 100% effort and integrity and, like, hoping to discover something new. But once the dates, you know, barring a miracle with the special, you know, I don't know. I might, you know, part of me wants to quit my job and quit comedy, but then I'm afraid that that's like, you know, too drastic or whatever, but like, and then write a book. But I, you know, my mom is always telling me to write a book, and I go, yeah, let me just complete my failure in comedy before I become a literary failure. And I meant that completely. I didn't say that like to be nasty to my mom. That's exactly what I felt. So coming soon to a self-published, unsold bookstore near you, JL's Memoirs. as the nephew of black women, that's what it'll be called. You know, because that should, like, help me sell with the progressives. So as the biological, as the blood nephew of black women, you know, not through, this wasn't one of those through marriage ones. But I don't know. This is where my head's at. So I'm sure some people listening to this are like, geez, this special is going to suck. You could think that, or you could realize that this is just me getting into the right headspace to, there have been a few times in my career where I have been in the headspace of, I no longer give a fuck. I no longer have faith in this business or confidence in it. So what the fuck do I owe it? The first time that happened was the Louis C.K. viral video where I was just like, oh, if I mock Louis C.K., you mean the comedy business is going to be mad at me and take away all the nothing that they've given me? The second time was probably Keep My Enemies Closer, which was that same year. Because I had to re-record. I did a show at the Triad Theater. That was going to be my album recording, and I sold 27 tickets. I couldn't put it out. Like, you could barely hear people laughing even when they were laughing because I had nobody there. So I re-recorded it in a tiny room, got like 25 people in a club that sat 40 people, and delivered maybe the greatest single show of my life. So it was once again that kind of, fuck everybody. I don't have to worry about anything. Because nothing's going to happen. So let's just do great comedy. Thoughts and Prayers was, I believed was going to be my last album. Didn't sell well. I think it's 1A, 1B with Keep My Enemies Closer. But it didn't sell well. It was a double album. And I guess some people maybe didn't want to pay the $20, but I was like, I don't know. I would have edited the shit down if I didn't think I fucking destroyed it and crushed it that night. But I did. So I put out a double album and I thought, well, it's a double album. So I think, yeah. So I charged the price of a double album because I was just like, yeah, I think I'm worth it, to sound like a beauty commercial. And I guess, I mean, the Trump stuff was different because I was just bored. I didn't have an agenda. I did not believe anything was going to blow up for me. So that wasn't even like, I don't give a fuck. That was like, I don't care. Like, I'm not defiantly saying I don't give a fuck. I'm just like, yeah, this is, you know, I do a good impression, I guess. So 50 people followed me from the last one. So that was fun. So I'll do another one and we'll see what happens. And then a lot happened. But this is, you know, this is a very good moment, a little nerve-wracking, but I think overall it's, like I said last week, I think this ends happily, as unhappy as I sound. I don't see an unhappy ending from this. I think just going through the process is unhappy, but not the conclusion. This is just the toughest part where your fate is in the hands of how I perform and then what happens to the special. But once I record the special, like I said, have a couple of drinks after, get a good night's sleep. I hope I sleep really well. I hope that's, you know, there's more stresses on me than just that. There's more shit worrying my mind. But when that's off it, I hope I get a good night's sleep. And then I'm going to go to IHOP and have some pancakes and still count my calories because I'm not done losing weight. 272 right now with a goal weight of 235. But, of course, I started this at the end of June at 317. So we're doing well. On that, so I will keep counting the calories and going to work out, but that day I will definitely have a fucking stack of pancakes and, I don't know, maybe even a milkshake. What do you think, folks? I think I will have earned it, unless, of course, the set goes hard. If the set is just, like, a disaster, and I'm like, that's a piece of shit, I'll just wake up the next morning and have eggs and blueberries and black coffee and tell myself that's all you deserve, you fucking failure. So, anyway, although to most people, eggs and blueberries and black coffee still sounds like a delightful breakfast. But to me, it's every day. It's every day I live that egg blueberry coffee life. So, yeah, let's get to a fun night in Belmore. So, Oh, and I got my hair cut today. So it'll be 6 days grown in for the special, which I think will be a good amount of grow in. It'll just be a buzz cut, folks. But and I may wear this may sound crazy, but I may wear the t-shirt I wore 15 years ago. Just a navy t-shirt. I think I can fit back into it. If I can't fit back into it, I'm not going to wear it, folks. But I think it's the navy shirt I wore for Racial Chameleon. That'd be pretty fun and weird. You know, just bookends, the navy t-shirt bookend. But I had a show. I was headlining the Brokerage in Belmore, Long Island on Friday. And 8 p.m. show. So I said, okay, I can get the 4:36? Yeah, there's a 4:36 train. But I was running a little late, and I said, well, there's a 4:53. The 4:53, I can still get to Penn Station and either have a half hour to grab something decent to eat before the 6:10 to Belmore, or I can get on the 5:40 to Belmore and then have like 45 to 50 minutes in Long Island to just eat something decent and then go to the show. So I don't get the 4:36, but I say, okay, the 4:53 works, because the next train after that is a 5:23 or 5:27. And I say, okay, well, I'll get the 4:53. 5:27 is cutting it close, because then if there's any fuck-ups, I might actually miss the 6:10 train. So get to the 4:53. It's 4:53. It's not here. It's 4:57, and it's not here. 5 o'clock, it shows up. And it's a connecting train. That's the problem. It's not a direct train. It's a connecting train. And New Jersey Transit, one thing they don't do is wait for connecting trains. They're like, no, fuck you. Go attack your conductor or whatever, but it's not our fault. We're waiting 9 seconds, and then we're going to fucking pull out. So I get to Newark Broad Street, which is the transfer station to get the train to New York Penn Station, and there's no train connecting, so it didn't wait for us. So guess what the wait time is at Newark Broad? That's right. You have to wait 27 minutes for that next train to show up. The one that was coming from the direct train that was coming to my stop in Bloomfield. I have to wait for that one. There's no more connecting trains anywhere coming through. So I could have just spent another half hour with Cookie watching TV and just gotten the next train. So I get to Penn Station. I have like a good 6 minutes to make it, you know, the equivalent of 2.5 blocks to get to the train track for the Long Island Railroad. Get there, get in my seat, sitting next to a woman and her dog, and then a big woman with like turquoise hair who's got 5 bags and her feet up on the seats. So I just sneak into one of those seats, and I'm reviewing my set, and we get to Belmore, Long Island, and it's a 7:10. When we get to Belmore, Long Island, so I'm walking. It's a 10-minute walk from the train to the club. So I get to the club about 7:25, and I'm like, shit, not enough time. So instead I go to Dunkin' Donuts. Now part of me is like, maybe I get like some sausage egg biscuit and a coffee or a water. But then I see that they have glazed sticks, guys. They have glazed sticks. So I say, let me get a water and a glazed stick, please. Put one of those girthy beige, sugary cum dried covered donuts in my mouth before this show. And she goes, I'll give you 2. And I don't want to refuse it, but I have 1200 calories to play with. I had a long workout and ate barely anything that day, because I wanted to at least leave room for like maybe some bar food if that's all I could get. So I'm sitting there with 1200 calories. Now a glazed stick is 380 deep throat calories per. So now I'm double fisting, okay? I'm doing the Mike Pence dance with glazed sticks, if everybody remembers my quasi-viral video of the Trump dance breakdown. And I go, Christ, that's like 760 of my calories just gone. Fuck. But they were delicious. They were delicious. I'm just kidding. I only had one. Okay, joke over. I had one. I put one in the bag for the train ride home. Well, let's be honest. I wouldn't eat on the train because of the mask rules. But, you know, for platform eating, which does occur, spoiler, it does occur later. I do eat a glazed stick on a platform. And then a cop said to me, get off your knees and stop sucking that glazed stick. That would be funny if I was like a Sacha Baron Cohen type, right? Like I just start like blowing a glazed stick on a train platform. Anyway, so I enter the club, and the feature and opener are there, and the owner of the club is there, and they're just having a nice chat. He goes, "What do you want from the bar, Jale?" And I go, "Oh, let me get some." I just said, "Let me get some chicken tenders, no fries or anything." So chicken tenders were decent. I put those calories in. And that was like 390 calories. So like, I got like 70 calories left. Assuming I eat the other donut. So I go, well, I'm definitely going to eat the other donut later. So I guess I can't eat anything the rest of the night. So I look out into the crowd. Now I have friends show up. I have fans show up. And I got to say, if any of them are listening to this, thank you so much. You were a really good crowd. Like it was a very enjoyable and useful show. Like I had fun, but it was also useful for preparing for Half Blackface. But it was a small crowd, as usual. It was a small crowd, even though I got a Friday night. You know, nobody comes out. For me, I'm not saying I don't believe the nobody's coming. No, I'm doing poorly with my stand-up career, but. The people who came out were really great. And, it was like legitimately, I had fun. When I'm on stage, that's why I'm fine doing shows. It's when I talk about comedy. That's why I always hate when friends of mine would bring up randomly at bars, he's a stand-up comedian. I go, I don't want to talk about that. Like either they're going to think I'm a fucking loser because they don't know who I am, so who gives a shit? Or they're going to be like curious, and I'm very bad at lying about stand-up comedy. Like if you get me doing stand-up comedy, you will laugh. If you get me talking about stand-up comedy, I will tell you how fucking awful it is. God help you if you mention that your favorite comedian is like some trite or hack piece of shit. Like I can't fake. Like if you tell me like so-and-so is your favorite comedian, I think they're like, famous or not, if I think they're like a mediocrity, I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, there you go. I'm going to go, ugh, all right, well, good for you. So small crowd. And after the show, I caught a woman sitting up close, and I caught her early in the show. And I was like, my God, where do I know that? Like, I was like, I know that woman. And it was like, were you a teacher of mine? Like, and this is happening. I'm sure I'm getting like, you know, just diminished brain capacity, but I was like, oh my God, you're a Sunday school teacher or high school teacher. And comes up to me after the show and she goes, do you remember who I am? And I go, Riverdale. And she's like, no. And I go, St. Gabe's, meaning like my Sunday school. She's like, and she tells me, and I'm like, oh my God, of course. And as I'm hearing her speak, I was like, I hate that. I hate because I feel like I'm insulting you, but I'm like literally just having a brain fart. And it was like, it was the woman who hired me at the Bronx DA's office. I'm not saying her name just because I'm not trying to put her name out there. But, and I was like, of course, like as soon as she said it, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, of course. Like I couldn't act disappointed enough in myself because I was just like, I'm sorry. Like it's been 15 years since I last heard or saw you, but it was literally like I looked over like five times during the show and was like, figure out who. And as soon as she said, I was like, good God, what an asshole I am. But it was nice. It's like, it's a weird thing. It's like every show I do is like a, this is your life. There's somebody from like my past who shows up. There's fans, but it's just, I can't get the critical mass. I don't know. Boston and DC were like my first batch of shows, and I guess those just gave me false hope. So thank you to the DC and Boston people. But like, that raised my expectations. Like, oh shit. Well, in cities that I'm either from or like do well in, I guess I'm gonna fucking crush it, and I'm not. I'm not crushing shit. And so be it. But that was just the first part of the story. So for Belmore Lyon. So I get out there. Get my pay, and I'm talking with a friend from work, and he brought a bunch of his friends. They're real fans, and it's very cool. and I met a longtime fan, a fan who told me she was a fan, like, you know, way before 2020. And she got like some of her friends to like watch my stuff, and they were at the show, and that's beautiful. A fan offered me a ride back to Jersey. They were like, "We're going near Bloomfield." I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." But the problem is, the last time I was in Long Island, when friends showed up and I was opening for Roy Wood, I had to run and catch a train, and I felt bad. You know, I felt bad that I was like, oh, I gotta go. I can't get home if I don't catch this last train. But I said, I'm going to hang out tonight because it's one show and I should be able to make the train easy and blah, blah, blah. So I'm hanging out with my friend and his friends. Have a nice time shooting the shit, joking. Friend of his buys a round. And then I look at the watch and I go, okay, it's fucking like 10:35. Fuck it. Oh, whatever time it was. It was like 10:40. I'll skip the 10:40, 40, 45 train. I'll get the next one. The next train was 11:50. Now, an 11:50 train will not get to New York Penn Station in time for the last train to Bloomfield. So I go, shit. But, you know, I feel like I'm doing my goodness as a friend and as somebody showing appreciation to some fans who showed up by hanging out. I don't need a medal for it. I wanted to do it, but it's also, you know, I don't want to be the guy who's just like, thanks for coming out. Okay, I got to run. Like, I know, I like talking to people, and sometimes people like talking to me. So I say, okay, I got to get out of here, guys. You wrap it up, get to another bar, because I know the owner wants to close up. So thank you so much for coming. Bye, everybody. Awesome time. Had a fun show. Felt really good about the show. Obviously wish 100 more people had showed up, but so be it. Great. Thank you. Good night. So I walk to the train station. I say, should I just get the 11:50 and then I'll find a way home? But I was like, I don't know when the last train out of New York Penn to Jersey period is, because I'm thinking I'll go to Newark Penn Station or, you know, and catch a cab from there. But I say, you know what? Let me just, I made money. Why don't we just immediately spend it? And I order a Lyft to go to Jamaica, Queens, which is the hub, like the Long Island Railroad hub. Every train on Long Island Railroad stops at Jamaica Station. So, like, in other words, there's trains coming in like every 10 to 12 minutes because all the train lines hit. So even on a Friday, late Friday night, when it's maybe not a lot of trains, every single train from every branch is hitting through Jamaica. So I go, let me get a cab, go to Jamaica. So this woman picks me up in her nice like BMW SUV, and we're going, and we're making good time. And I go, okay, this should be good. This should be good. Then we hit like Jamaica, like a little before Jamaica, Queens. And man, we run into some guy who was either trying to do a drive-by or was just so high he couldn't drive faster than like 10 miles per hour. And this continues for like 25 blocks. And even the nice lady driver I had was like, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, she had the Christian radio on just like my – well, first she had Next. The group Next, which play, you know, their big song was the Boner song, Too Close, from I want to say 99 or 2000. Big, big song, probably 99. Big song, turn of the century, on college campuses. Good for grinding on dance floors. But it's the song about grinding and getting a hard on while you're grinding with a woman on a dance floor. It's a very simple song, but it's a fun one. It's a fun pre-Me Too song. And we stand with Robin Thicke on this podcast, by the way. Anyway, just kidding. If that ever becomes more problematic than it already is, I renounce that statement that I just made. But if it doesn't, I stand by it. Still my song of the summer, to be honest. I have three songs of the summer for my lifetime. Nelly's Hot in Here, which had a long run. Then Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. And then Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato, which only had like a one-year run. And then Robin Thicke took back the title. But anyway. So I'm in the cab and I'm going, oh God, come on. So she drops me off at Long Island Railroad and I look and I go, it's 12, it's midnight. And I go, yeah, but I'm not that far. I just need a fucking train to come quick. And I'm like, boom, 12:09. That'll work. 12:09 should be just enough time. Well, the 12:09 was 3 minutes late. And when you're, you know, living a Jack Bauer episode of, like comedy depression version, like a comedy depression reboot of 24, 3 minutes is going to really fuck up your entire timing. So get on the train and we're going. I go, is it really this long a ride? Well, guess what? I arrive in New York Penn Station at 12:34 for the 12:34. So needless to say, I did not make it because I could not transport myself 19 platforms away in an instant. So I'm standing upstairs and I'm waiting for the next train to New. And there's a train going to Newark Broad Street, which is the slightly closer station to where I live than the Newark Penn Station. So I say, okay. And I'm just like, you know, I had one beer with my friends and I'm just like looking around and going, feeling like an old man. And I'm just like, yeah, look at those happy couples and look at everybody just having a happy Friday night. Like, probably just came in from a show or a party with friends and now you're going to get on a New Jersey Transit, probably not wear a mask because you're Jersey scum. And then you're going to go home and fuck and say, ah, life is great, isn't it? We're just fucking idiots in Jersey. We party, not a care in the world. We're not that fucking weird tall guy carrying a tripod for some reason that we saw tonight in New York Penn Station. So then the train arrives, the 12:53, and I get on it. And then we make it to Newark Broad Street. And I get out, and it's whatever, 105, 110. And I'm just standing underneath train tracks in Newark, New Jersey, alone. Just legitimately saying, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck has come of my life? I just spent almost a quarter of my earnings, of my disappointed earnings, on a cab that didn't even get the job done. It didn't. I could have taken the 11:50. This is the bitter pill. I could have taken the Long Island Railroad at 11:50 and arrived at Penn Station with 8 minutes before the train I actually got on. So I didn't have to spend a single dollar on that cab that was supposed to get me to Jamaica just in time to make New York Penn Station. So I'm sitting here having literally just burned, let's say a fifth. I just burned literally it was a fifth. So perfect. Nailed it. Did the math in my head. 1/5 of my earnings that night, I literally just wiped my ass with and then ate it just to fucking get a extra fucking shaming. I ATM'd the money I got from an ATM. How about that? God, if people made it this far, you just got a gem. And I'm standing on a street in Newark, just like, what happened? I'm in this desolate part of town and I'm checking and my bus isn't coming. The bus lines, the three bus lines that come near my apartment, they're done for the night. So I say, well, let me order a cab. Why not? So now we're going to end up spending 1/4 total of my money on cabs when I could have just gotten to this point without the first cab and saved, you know, what's a $20 cab ride? There's no shame in that after a night of working late. But there is a shame in $65 in cabs when $45 of the cab money is literally served no purpose except I couldn't read in the cab. I could have at least gotten some good reading time and saved money. So I'm standing underneath train tracks in Newark, New Jersey at 1:20 a.m., just waiting for someone to drive by and shoot me and end it all. And so I order a cab and he shows up and I get a thing that says he is hearing impaired. And I go, well, then, you know, see, there's always something that you go, well, you know what? This guy is driving around downtown Newark, earning his keep with his hearing aid in. Good for him. All right, just get me home, sir, and we'll be fine. And for some reason, this man who had a hearing device in his ear was blasting trap music. The entire, you know, mumble rap was blaring not loud. Like I'm not trying to make a hearing joke. I mean, I'm making a hearing joke, but not like a volume joke. But yeah, he was just blasting because I didn't like it, but it was on at a normal car volume. But I'm like, of all the things you're going to do with your limited hearing, you're going to play when I couldn't see it. Hina, winner, driving around Newark with a comic who's fucking up his life. And we trying to get back to Bloomfield, right? Hey, when we taking him and his tripod and his unsold merch, trying to get
to Jersey and then get to church because he's doing all his praying. Hope his life doesn't fuck up, but I can't hear him complain. But I told him, shut the fuck up. Anyway, that's, you know, if my cab driver were a hearing impaired mumble rap star. So I'm just in my, I'm already, see, I can't turn off the joke writing because I was just in my head in this cab going, you're going to spend your limited hearing on this music? So I arrive home. I walk into my apartment at 2 a.m. Cookie greets me. I put my stuff away, crawl into bed, fall asleep for 4.5 hours, and wake up. And I just, I felt a little better, but I just thought to myself, it's not happening, it's not working, and it's not worth it. And that's nothing. It's so difficult for me to say that because I am so conflicted because I am so fucking grateful for fans and for the experience and to have even whether it be 100 people or 9 people or somewhere in between, when they come up to me and say, whether it's I've loved your stuff for a while or, oh, I've been hoping you'd come back here or, oh, you made my 2020 better. And because they're not just saying it. They're out there with their money and their time, and it is deeply meaningful. So I gotta be about me when it comes to this shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, I can't keep doing these shows where I fucking have like, it's a business. It's a business for the club, but it's a business for me. And if I have to declare bankruptcy, moral and spiritual bankruptcy, chapter 11 in the good book. That's it. Moral and spiritual bankruptcy. I will now call that chapter 11 in the good book. Then I got to do that. No matter how good it feels to make other people feel good. I am not the Jesus Christ of comedy. I am not doing comedy and suffering for, to cleanse your sins. Sorry. But it's tough because it means a lot to have fans and it means a lot to have support. And it really is better late than never. And it's validating. It's validating for my experience. It's validating for my effort. But that can only go so far if I'm not succeeding at the business. And if the business is shut off to me in terms of representation, and if the business is shut off to me in terms of social media reach that I, you know, no longer really have compared to what I had, you know, then that's it. You know, and these gigs, it's like they keep getting worse. Like I know they're funny because I'm thinking to myself, well, sharing this will make people laugh, but it's torture now. You go into a gig and it's like, I'm the proudest thing I am of myself is that I have entered every club for the last month, hugely despondent and depressed because I don't have a numerically good crowd. And then I watch the tape and I'm like, I get in the zone. I fucking deliver. And I'm proud of that because it's like, obviously I'm good enough and I've built my comedic spine strong enough that I can go out there and really just fucking deliver the goods when it's maybe not an inspiring environment. And that's tough to walk away from too. Cause I look at my work and I look at what I can do and I go, man, it's going to be tough to walk away because I'm like, I can really do it, but I can also be a fucking miserable, depressed person who's unpleasant to be around for friends and for loved ones. And it's, you know, that's not cool either. And those are the people who, if there's one group of people that matter more than fans, it's friends and loved ones, you know? So we'll see. In the words of Donald Trump, we'll see what happens. But I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. This is what this podcast is. I it's up and down. I delivered some very good laughs, but also you guys are following my career and following my comedy. And, you know, you
I appreciate it. But you also, you get the, you know, instead of a Patreon from me, you just get the unvarnished truth from me. So I hope that's as good as bonus content. So that's it for me. I got an hour to eat some dinner. I won't get to the gym because I rambled on longer than I expected. So I'll just go have a sandwich and a glass of water and do some Making Podcasts Great Again and then watch 60 Minutes and go to sleep. So thank you for listening. I'll put this up Monday. Why not, guys? It's a big week. I won't make you wait for this depressing as fuck talk. But I should end to my real fans, that's who I really consider the listeners of this podcast. I really do thank you and appreciate you. And if this ends up being like the beginning of the end of my comedy journey, and you've been with me for years, or you've been with me for months, I do appreciate it all. I appreciate that you gave a fuck beyond some funny voices. And I hope I have delivered material and effort worthy of your support. So thank you. Have a great week. I will report back to you next week to everybody who's going to be at the show. I look forward to giving the greatest effort of my fucking comedy life. And hopefully that effort yields the best work of my comedy life. And then it's out of my hands. Then we see what can happen with it. So thank you for listening. Have a great week. Stay safe. Get vaccinated if you're not. Get a booster if you're eligible. And I will see you next Tuesday.